Mr. Modi's BJP, ladies and gentlemen, is playing communal politics with a capital C. We are astounded and disturbed by the statement of the BJP leader and national spokesperson, Nirmala Sitharaman, justifying the highly inflammatory, divisive language of revenge and honor uttered by the leader, Mr. Amit Shah. Mr. Shah, who's in charge of the Uttar Pradesh campaign of the BJP, in fact, has been to jail on a Supreme Court order for the fake encounters case. By justifying Mr. Amit Shah's regrettable revenge as the mood of the nation, the BJP has demonstrated its firm resolve to destroy India's secular fabric. It is not just shocking, but completely disgraceful, as it is an endorsement and manifestation of BJP's communal politics being played out not just in Uttar Pradesh, but frankly, all over the country. That Mr. Shah has made these remarks in Muzaffarnagar, which is still recovering from the gruesome communal violence that claimed 60 lives, is indeed reprehensible and deserves the strongest condemnation. Not a single party leader has condemned the objectionable choice of words, because honestly, it is part of BJP's orchestrated electoral ploy. Ladies and gentlemen, for the BJP, the mask is off. The most brazen act of divisive sectarian politics was evident when the BJP gave tickets to 3 MLAs of their party booked for the Muzaffarnagar riots of August and September 2013 last year. And the 3 names are Sanjeev Balyan, Bharatendu Singh and Hukum Singh. It seemed as if they were being given a celebratory hero's medal for their horrific acts of retribution. Now the question that we need to ask is, why has Mr. Modi, BJP's prime ministerial candidate, not said a single word, not one word, and in fact has maintained a conspicuous silence on the Muzaffarnagar riots? Why did he not even visit the relief camps to express his grief and support for the suffering and the devastated families who were innocent victims of the gruesome riots? Why has the Gujarat government challenged the Sachar Committee to help the minorities as unconstitutional, despite a Gujarat High Court verdict saying exactly the opposite? We need to ask these questions of Mr. Modi and the BJP. Why is it that in the state of Uttar Pradesh, which has a population of 37 million Muslims, who form, incidentally, 20% of the state's population, that not a single Muslim candidate gets a Lok Sabha ticket by the party? Why? I mean, is that representation? Is this a party that is truly trying to talk of a united India? Are they really trying to ensure that, you know, we will live in great harmony with social tranquility? The same is the case in Mr. Modi's state of Gujarat, where not a single ticket was given amongst almost 183 assembly seats to a single person from the Muslim community. BJP is today, ladies and gentlemen, selling in-your-face communal politics to India in this election of 2014. The idea of India is under threat. Polarization is the only option to garner votes by misleading voters along lines of religion. The BJP has delayed its manifesto for one singular reason, because they knew it right from the beginning that they could only be a copycat, a real true copycat of the Indian National Congress Party's manifesto, and because they wanted to delay the knowledge that the country knew all along, that for them it was all about Hindutva. They have no real, tangible, constructive suggestions for a modern, young, aspirational India, which is why, although they tried to cleverly conceal it in the last few pages, but they could not restrain themselves from talking about the Ram Mandir, or about the Uniform Civil Code, or the Article 370. They are still stuck in a time warp of what they were in the late 1980s and early 1990s. Well, lastly, apprehensions on Mr. Modi's blemished track record on human rights violations is now being echoed by well-respected international media as well. The world, it seems, is extremely concerned about the recent political developments within the BJP and Mr. Modi's extremely strident communalism, as you could make out even in his statement on the Pink Revolution. Well, The Economist has said, The Economist is, by the way, considered to be one of the most respected publications worldwide, is read by political leaders, analysts, bankers, in the Wall Street, Main Street, everywhere. The Economist has said, for now, he, as in Mr. Modi, should be judged on his record, which is that of a man who is still associated with sectarian hatred. There is nothing modern, honest, or fair about that. India deserves better. The London-based Guardian says, if Mr. Modi wins, the many struggles rocking India, violence against women, state repression, and human rights look set to intensify. Truly, ladies and gentlemen, India deserves better. And we definitely don't need a party or a leader that intends to, for its own political ambitions, to divide India and subdivide it. Thank you.